Liberty News, taking the lock on the shackles of tyranny.
Machines are going to fail, and the system's going to fail.
The past is past, the future's now.
Don't look at me. I think these people are completely nuts.
Sometimes trouble just follows a man.
There is another organism on this planet that follows the same pattern. Do you know what it is? A virus.
Can't you stop your lips from flapping for 2 little minutes?
Because I'm white.
I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to feel loved. I need to be desired.
Yeah, I'm rapping this. I'm in a big underground succession.
It's a question of methods. Everybody wants results, but nobody wants to do what they have to do to get them done.
And now, coming to you live from Kalispell, Montana, brought to you by Northwest Liberty News, it's Montana Gazette Radio with your host, James White. Okay, I'm your host, James White. This is Montana Gazette Radio. Thanks so much for joining us here today on this third day of May 2021. And we're coming to you live here from Kalispell, Montana, on a variety of different platforms, a couple of Facebook pages, Twitch, Periscope, DLive, and over at Blog Talk Radio. You can pick up the show if you go to MontanaGazetteRadio.com, MontanaGazetteRadio.com. You can hear the broadcast live there on that page, and the replays are there as well. I try to keep the videos updated. Like today's video, I will put that back up after everything gets processed. Pardon me. And we do appreciate you joining us here on this bright, sunny day. Spring is upon us, and couldn't be happier to get past the winter doldrums and get into some more warmer weather. We've reached the end of the Montana legislative session, as you may or may not know, and I think a lot of good things went on. Other things could have went on, I think, that could have made it an outstanding, spectacular legislative session. It was still pretty good, and I think a lot of things, a lot of bills were passed, and I think signed by Governor June Forte that I think were positive and a step in the right direction, I think, and from my viewpoint, from a conservative viewpoint here, that is no secret about that. But joining us today is Michelle, who was a member of the Montana legislature here over these past 4 months. And she is with HD 85, if I remember correctly. And we're delighted to have her here today with us on the show. Let me give her a brief introduction, and then I will have her join us here. As I stated, today's returning guest, Michelle Binkley, is a member of the Montana House of Representatives for District 85. This legislative session was her first experience serving the citizens of Montana in a political role, and we invite her to here today to get her views on being a first-time legislator and how she thinks things went in Helena over the past 4 months or so. Let's welcome her to the show. Michelle, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you taking time to join us here today on the broadcast. We're delighted that you made it through the legislative session. There's a lot of sharks there in Helena. Looks like you made it out of the water okay. I mean, relatively speaking. But that's one of the first things I want to ask you here is, if we can, what's your overall viewpoint of being there in Helena over the last pretty much 4 months? Not quite, but I mean, pretty close to 4 months, just a couple of days shy. Now, I know you probably took some breaks and back home, but I'm just meaning, generally speaking, the session just ended here, I think, last week and started in January 4th. Give us your overall view of that, Michelle, and how you think things went there in Helena.
Oh, wow. Such an overwhelming experience. I truly enjoyed it. It was an honor to serve the people. It was, oh my goodness, surreal, sitting in that room, knowing that who's been there before, the history, just everything, can be overwhelming. It kind of felt like going to college the first time, where you're meeting new people and getting to know each other, and you're with each other, feels like 24/7, and you get a couple years worth of friendships gained in such a short period of time. And then poof, it's gone. I don't know.
No, I
understand. It's kinda...
Well, let me ask you this. Is there any, and you don't, of course, we're going to name names or anything like that. Just generally speaking, when you went into the legislature, did you have any preconceived ideas about how maybe the views of some folks that changed when you were there, meaning you thought maybe some people were more conservative than they were? And on the flip side, did you think maybe some people were more liberal and you found out they were more conservative? Did you have any of that going on? Like I said, we don't need to name any names, but were you surprised at all by maybe getting to know some people and getting to know them better? And maybe some of the things, of course, you know, a lot of stuff flies around, fake media about people, a lot of lies and disinformation and stuff like that. Do you have any experiences like that, Michelle?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Some people I knew of, some of them I've known for a short period of time. And yes, I would say that. Sometimes you can be surprised. But maybe people felt that way about me also, you know, and until you really get into it, it's really easy to sit there and say, oh, I would do this or I would do that. Definitely I'd make that decision or this decision. Then you're actually sitting there and it's all on you. And you're taking everything into consideration. You know, I could see where some people may move from what they thought they were.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, it's like being an armchair quarterback.
Yeah, no, right, until you're actually there in the game, taking the snap. And then it's a lot different. Let me ask you this, if I can. We're seeing a time in history, I think, where people are much more active than ever, you know, getting involved in the legislative process. Were you able to get a lot of communication from your constituents while you were there? Did they reach out to you? Did they give you kind of an idea of, you know, did they speak their mind to you and did they kind of give you an idea how they would hope that you would vote on certain issues? Did you notice that at all when you were in the session?
Well, I received a lot of communication, and yes, a lot of people reaching out, sharing their views. Some of them were very kind, and some of them were just downright nasty. I can't believe some of the things people will think is okay to write someone. But as far as my constituents go, very, very few of people from my own district. And I contemplated why that would be, and the only thing I can think of is perhaps they were comfortable that they vetted me and that I would do what they wanted. I don't really have an answer for that, but I'd say probably just, a small percentage, maybe 10 to 15 people from my district actually contacted me, and they were regulars. I mean, I'd hear from them regularly, and that was awesome. But, yeah, people from all over the state and outside of the state. Yeah, it's pretty. And the people in the state, if I had time, I would respond back to them. But it gets really busy, and so it's kind of hard to answer everyone.
What kind of things would people attack you because you're conservative or some of your votes? I mean, these are... You know, I mean, mm-hmm. There were no threats of physical harm or anything, correct? They were just basically name calling.
Not to me. I really didn't get the vulgar emails and responses like some of my colleagues did. I did get one that was pretty nasty, and I know the person who wrote it to me. I will just be careful I'll tread lightly with that one. I don't want to repeat what was said to me, but
I
didn't appreciate it very well.
I don't blame you. Well, there was a couple of real, I think, some pretty big, you know, pardon me, some pretty big victories, some successes here over this last legislative session. And a couple of disappointments, you know, for me personally on one, you know, I actually testified for my first time actually in front of committee on the internet censorship bill. And then after I actually testified, YouTube summarily just removed my account permanently after a series of strikes. And then I got off the strike and then they hit me again and they hit me three times and took down my channel. So that's what happens when you speak out. That's the penalty for speaking out. But we did have some successes. We had the permitless carry was very good. We had a couple of couple of pieces of legislation put forward, maybe a few actually, by the Montana Sports Shooting Association and Gary Marbit. He's done some great work there. Also the Right to Life, like three, I think, Right to Life bills that were signed. So there were some successes, no doubt, in the legislative session this past session. What's your thoughts on those, Michelle? You were, I'm sure, very aware of the ones I just mentioned. What's your thoughts as far as the successes that we've had, and probably a couple that I didn't mention? So go ahead and elaborate on that if you would.
Oh, sure. Oh, I would agree with you. I think we made great strides. You know, we had the benefit of coming off of, 16 years of having a Democrat governor. So there were plenty of bills that made their way through the process and vetted only to be vetoed. And they were brought back, and we'd hear that over and over again from the other side. Well, we've heard this. This has been debated before, and that's true. It had been heard. It had been debated. But that's what you do, right? You bring them up again. And I'm so thankful for those that made it all the way through and the governor signed. It's wonderful. So I think it has been a great success. It's some of the things were disappointing that didn't make their way through, and some of the ones that had, you know, they were amended here, there, and they're signed into law, and that's good. I would have preferred them unamended, but you know, that's how it works.
No, right, it's a process.
I think turn around and be happy with the what you were able to come off with, and we can come back next session and tweak it again.
You know, let me ask you this: as far as the dynamics that go on the floor there, is there what you'd call, you know, this, of course, being from Montana, I think it's appropriate to use this term. Is there like some horse trading going on there on the floor? Because there's certain people that want certain bills to be passed and forwarded along, and others, you know, the opposite side of the aisle want their bills. Is there true compromise there on the floor, or is it sadly, like we see in the press, is it like an us against them mentality, or is there some cooperation that goes on between the two sides that you could see while you were there?
Yes, I would say so. You know, I wasn't ever actually involved in that process, but just as an onlooker, if you just pay attention, you can see that happening. So I would say yes. I would say there were some horse trading going on or deals going on back room, maybe. I don't know. There again, I wasn't a part of it, but just being observant and watching, you can see things happening.
No, sure, I understand. But I'll tell you what we're going to take a quick commercial break here real quick. When we come back on the other side, Michelle, what we'll do is I'd like to talk about moving forward, your plans, if you've thought about, you know, moving ahead further, perhaps running again the next time around. what's in store for us here in Montana? Just because the legislative session is over there, it doesn't mean that certainly the federal government are still going to continue to push, and they're going to continue to try to exert their control over us. And I want to talk about the grassroots movements that we find across, you know, Montana and the country, of course, to people for mobilizing and, you know, and sort of speaking out. And we'll talk about those and other things on the other side. Michelle, before we go to take a quick break, can you give us give us any of the emails that you want to, or not emails, but websites or Facebook pages, anything like that you'd like to give out to folks?
Oh, sure. Yes. I have registered to run again for House District 85. My email is Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, at binkley4montana.com, and it's B-I-N-K-L-E-Y-F-O-R-M-O-N-T-A-N-A.com. You can find me on Facebook. I have a personal page. You can friend request me, and that's Michelle Binkley. And I also have Michelle Binkley for HD85 on Facebook. Welcome to reach out to me and discuss things and message, whichever. I'm happy to, I'm here to talk to you and hear what you have to say.
You know, just on your website there, and it does have your email address there, and it says your phone number too, I think. And that's one of the unique things I think about a lot of the legislators in Montana, that they give out their personal phone numbers to people and say, hey, just give me a call on the phone if you want to talk about some things. I'm not trying to hide anything. So I do appreciate that. I've never seen that back or when I came from Michigan. They didn't do that. They didn't give out their personal phone numbers.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And
they
that number that's on there. Oh, I'm sorry. That number that's on my website is my home phone. So you can leave a message, but I will call you back if I'm not home to answer it. So.
Okay, very good. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we come back on the other side. We'll pick back up with Michelle Binkley. Thanks so much for joining us here. This is Montana Gazette Radio, montanagazetteradio.com, montanagazetteradio.com, montanadailygazette.com, or of course the flagship northwestsuburbannews.com. We'll be back after these brief messages. If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop. Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility. Okay, folks, if you want to support the broadcast, you can do so by supporting our sponsors. If you're in Kalispell, I highly recommend you stopping by the Corner Shop there and getting your auto service work completed. It's a full-service shop. Dan Korn and the folks there at the Corner Shop do a great job, and we do appreciate them supporting the show here. If you want to support us otherwise, you can go to montanagazetteradio.com, montanadailygazette.com, or northwestsuburbannews.com. Okay, we're here with Michelle Binkley is on the line with us. We'll bring Michelle back on the line. She is a representative for Montana HD 85. Michelle, thanks so much for hanging out with us after the break. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so you have already announced here that you are. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you had already pledged your intention to run for HD 85 for the next election. So that's good. That means you're moving forward. So it wasn't that distasteful of an experience where you said, I don't want to be involved in this anymore. Cause I think that's almost what I would be feeling like, but you know, I mean, maybe not this session cause there was some pretty good success, but so you are moving forward with this. And I don't have it here at my fingertips what committees that you were involved in over this, but you can certainly talk about that. And if you have your sights on, if there's anything that you, now that, you know, when you go back to your second term, your second time around, you'll be a lot more acclimated to what's going on, and you won't be, right. You won't be so new, right? You kind of know the ropes, I guess.
Definitely.
If you will. That'll give you a little bit of opportunity to get more involved. So tell us about that if you can, Michelle.
Oh, I'm ready to jump in with both feet. You know, this first session, I felt like a sponge. I just kind of sat there and observed, learned the way things needed to go, made friendships, just kind of got my feel for things and formulated a plan So I'm ready to go back. I served on state administration and veteran affairs. That was my A committee, and that met every morning at 9 o'clock, sometimes eight, depending on the load that we had to work with. And then my afternoon committees, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was on energy, telecommunications, and federal relations. And on Tuesday and Thursday, I was on agriculture. So it was quite an experience. I really enjoyed it. State administration, we heard a lot of the Secretary of State bills came through state administration. Pretty much everyone that was put forth regarding voter integrity and that sort of thing came through my committee, and it was great. I loved it. Just being able to vet it and ask questions and get those bills onto the floor and get them passed. That was really a great experience. Other than that, state administration has to deal with pensions, state employees, just the administrative part of that. So parts of it could be boring, but, you know, that's kind of my, I'm in business related type work. So it was fine. I enjoyed it. Energy, I had no clue. I thought I was not going to understand anything. And I was really happy that I actually understood quite a bit, and I know more about those things than I thought I did, which was good. You know, my husband is a ham radio operator, and I have my technician's license, and I took a class for the general. It's a three-step process, and so it gets a little bit more involved. I did not pass the test. I'm going to take it again after I settle down a little bit. But the class that I took provided me knowledge that I needed. And I was sitting there, and I was like, hey, I know this. I know this. This is awesome. I know this. That was really great. And agriculture, you know, I've lived in Montana for quite a while, and I lived in Florida for a while also, where I worked at a small bank, and all we did was farms and ranches, and so I'm familiar with the workings, you know, as far as agriculture goes. So I think that those three committees were, I think that was a good fit there, and I was able to make decisions and ask appropriate questions, and so I'm happy with how I was able to serve in that way. As far as the future, I am just ready to explore some different legislation and hopefully present some bills next time. You know, there's our DPHHS is in dire straits. I know we have good, we have new department heads, and I have hope for our future, but, you know, it takes all of us working together doing our part. So I'd like to work on some family things and some more business things, and if anybody has ideas, they can contact me and we can talk about it and put together some bills for next session. So
wonderful. Are you going to be, you know what, have you thought about, and last question for you here, Michelle, have you thought about doing like any town, based upon that last sentence that you just stated, have you thought about leading up to, and it's, of course, we're, you know, when you think about it, you know, we're just over a year away from the primaries, you know that, right? I mean, it's almost like you almost have to start campaigning, and some people will, I'm sure, start campaigning probably soon, if not this week. Have you thought about having any like town hall meetings or calling in, you know, having an open forum where the constituents can come in and give you ideas about what kind of things they want you to try to tackle if you're able to get the win the vote next time around?
I haven't really explored the thought of town halls, but I have had some ideas for get-togethers and that sort of thing within my district.
Right.
I try to be, when I campaigned up to this point, as much as I could be where, farmers market or different meetings that were held, due to COVID, a lot was canceled, but I tried to be where I could, and I will just continue to do that. I'll try to attend as many meetings as possible. But I'm here to speak with people. So if they have concerns, they can reach out to me at any time. But I will explore some ideas and have some places for meetings and that sort of thing, because I think it's very important to be available to the people. I mean, this is our job. This is why I got involved in this in the first place. I've been working and raising my children, and I did my part, I thought. I voted, I worked, I paid my taxes, I went to meetings when I could. We're in this position because we, the people, let it get to this spot. We let it happen. So we need to do our jobs, and we need to get back and and I'm at a place now, my boys are grown, and I can do this. So I'm doing it. And I welcome anyone. I was so thankful for those that got involved. So thankful for the people who pay attention to what the legislature's doing, who read the bills, who know what's coming up, who saw the committee times, who commented, who came to the Capitol. We need that. And I'm so thankful for everyone, because that's how we're able to accomplish what we did. It's not just this legislature sitting there talking and pushing the button. It takes all of us working together, and I'm so thankful for that.
Michelle Binkley, we so much appreciate you taking time to come on the broadcast with us here. Thanks so much for your service to the citizens of Montana in the last legislative session. If you'd like to, once again, go ahead and give out your email address and websites for the folks that want to reach out to you, that listen to this broadcast, can reach out to you after the show. We'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Thank you. My website is Binkley for Montana, and that's BINKLEYFORMONTANA.com. And my email address is Michelle, MICHELE, at Binkley for Montana. And my phone number, my home phone number, is 406-375-0291. You're welcome to call. If I'm here, I'll answer. If not, you can leave a message, and I'll get back when I'm able.
And please don't
call. I'm so thankful.
Don't call at 3 a.m. It's the home number, folks. Please don't call at 3 a.m.
Thank you. Yes.
Anyway, too bad you got to say that. all right, Michelle. Anything else you want to say in closing before we let you go?
I just want to say thank you for the people of my district that believed in me, that voted for me. I'm so thankful for you. I feel like I did a good job. I'm anxious to see the different companies, or not companies, but groups that monitor and see the scoring that I have for, pro-life and NRA and all that.
Yeah, right. On, like Legistats. Yeah. Yeah, I got a feeling you're going to do pretty well.
I hope so, because that wasn't my focus when I pushed the button. So I'm curious to see. curious to see how it all plays out. But I am very thankful, and I love the opportunity to just keep going and serving not only the people of my district, but the state of Montana. It's a wonderful state. I love it here.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a beautiful state. Well, I'm sure we'll have you back on the broadcast again here before, especially if you're campaigning, pardon me, if you're campaigning for the next election. We'll certainly want to have you back, I'm sure, on the show here. Michelle Bakley, thanks so much for joining us here today. We so much appreciate it. Representative from Montana House 55. And anything breaks, of course, you just give me a call and let me know, and I'll try to get it up either in a video or put it up on Montana Daily Gazette. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate
you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, there goes Michelle Binkley. We do appreciate her coming on the broadcast and appreciate her service there at the legislature. If you want to catch this broadcast live, you can go on the MontanaGazetteRadio.com website, and the Rumble channel is there as well. If you're looking for me on YouTube, you're not going to find me, or even on Twitter now. You're not going to find me there really either. So it's like whack-a-mole. You know, they continue to knock you down. You continue to try to get other platforms to try to find yourself to broadcast in. And it's just a back and forth, as I stated, like a whack-a-mole. But we're going to continue to forward, and we're going to continue to put out the truth over at Montana Daily Gazette. And we do appreciate your support on that. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're just going to talk about some of the things here going on here around town here. And we're going to hit the Montana Daily Gazette. Well, first of all, before we do that, there is a big election coming up tomorrow. It is for School District 5 here. It's independent upon where you live in the city here around the Flathead Valley. You may or may not. Like, for example, the ballot that I received didn't have any of the candidates at all for the school board on there, just because of the district that I'm in. But there's a big vote coming up tomorrow for the school district number 5. And there's been people here on this broadcast. I've interviewed 5 candidates. There's been some stories written in some of the local papers here about it. The Office of Political Practice has gotten involved. There's just a whole lot going on. There's a rally today, and there's a vote tomorrow. So things are happening here. People are getting up off their hind quarters and doing things here in the Flathead Valley. We do appreciate that. We very much appreciate people becoming active and doing their thing. We wholeheartedly support that. Not sure if we'll be able to make the meeting today at noon. I have another conference call I had scheduled previously, a business call. Actually, it's a call on another breaking story, I should say, I'm having here. I'm going to start doing some interviews this week on some people. That's going to be, if you're in Flathead Valley, it's going to be fairly bombshell interviews with some corruption that's going on in one of the local lending institutions. It's about to all come out here. And I'm having a conference call today for that. And I'm going to be doing some interviews this week. So keep an eye out here on Montana Gazette Radio. For the rest of the week, we got some all-star lineup here coming. Tomorrow we have Teresa Manzella is going to be on the broadcast. Wednesday, Braxton Mitchell will be here. Thursday, it's going to be who is going to be on Thursday? I forgot now. Derek Skies. How can we forget Derek Skies? Derek Skies will be here Thursday, and then we'll have Lola Sheldon Galloway scheduled to be here on Friday on the broadcast here. We're having some of the legislators on here to give us a recap of their of the session, what they thought about it, and what their take is on how things went and the good and the bad. You know, they all got their own experience. They all have different levels of experience, and I'm delighted that they decided to come here on the show and talk about that and do a sort of a reset. Okay, I'm not sure if you've seen this. This here, Montana Daily Gazette. This is a party that was apparently attended by a lot of the Democrats there after the legislative session was over. And they, of course, don't have any masks on there, and they're not social distancing. And, of course, that was something that they tried to hit us hard, tried to hit everybody hard during the time. This is Brenda Roscoe did this article. She's done quite a few great articles here for us, and we do appreciate that. She's got another one coming up here. I think we're going to be having a couple today. I think we're going to be publishing by her. She's working on a couple right now. But here it is, folks. Of course, the rules apply to thee and not to me. They want everybody else. I mean, some of these people didn't even attend. A lot of them didn't even attend the legislative session in person, some of them, because of the mask thing. And they all get together here afterwards, and they come together without social distancing. Not that I'm a fan of social distancing or wearing a mask or any of that other malarkey. All I'm saying is what you preach, right? If you're gonna try to dictate something to somebody else, you should at least practice it yourself. But of course, that's not the world we're living in. That's not how things roll. That's not how they roll. So we know that's all a fraud. It's all a scam. It's all a ruse. It's all just a it's all a smokescreen. It's all just a distraction to take the attention off of their criminality. I don't know what else to say. I think there's a lot of crooks in the political process. The whole thing is broken in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm not saying people necessarily, your local legislators. I'm just saying, generally speaking, the political process has just been usurped. It's been taken over. There's too many lobby groups involved, and it's too much money involved with it. Too many backroom deals, too much cronyism, favoritism, nepotism, you name it. It's not anywhere near what it should be, not even close. And sadly, we are sort of witnessing the fall of an empire here in some sense. And it's terrible to see, because I've been talking about it for a long, long time, trying to get people mobilized and get them going and get them out there and doing things, and they are more. For the text here. What our last guest just stated, what Michelle Binkley just stated, is absolutely true. It's up to us, really, to take back this country. It's not going to be given back to us. They're not going to stop. They're not going to relinquish their control, or quite the opposite. They're going to tighten their grip. They're going to continue to tighten the screws down. Now you're finding out they're now parts of the United States. We just saw, I think it was yesterday, I was at the gym walking on the treadmill, and you see the useless news are on the screens there. Of course, all the fake news, including Fox, was on there. And there was a story that stated there was a nurse in Texas who got fired for not taking the vaccine. You have to wonder. Well, there's really no wondering. Before in the show, what the COVID-19, the coronavirus, really has done is it really has revealed the whole class of would-be dictators and tyrants that obviously this penchant to control people has been lying underneath a veneer of respectability, apparently, for a long time. Now that they see the opportunity to have some power, they seize it, and they are going to take it to the max and make you pay if you don't follow what they think that you should do. And there's no exemptions. They're not, there's this, it's, folks, it's, I mean, and gosh, it just frustrates the heck out of me, because it never had to get to this point. Never had to get to this point. I mean, we were just so distracted and so dumbed down by all the sports and the MTV and the award shows and your reality TV, and we let it go. We let this precious gem of liberty and freedom that we had, for as long as we had it. I mean, they've been trying to take it away from us from the inception. But there was a period of time where we did have, It was the greatest country in the world. Is it still that? You know, arguably, there's many elements of it that are, but you know, we're in the throes of destruction right now. Now I saw I wish I could get this guy on for an interview. If you're not familiar with the series, the book called The Fourth Turning, by Neil Strauss and I forget the name of the guys that are the ones that wrote it, but one of the guys has passed away. Neil Howe, and I can't remember. At any rate, it's called The Fourth Turning. If you're not familiar with that book or you haven't had a chance to review that, I would put it on my have-to-read list immediately. And it talks about the cycles. And, you know, this is something that I brought up on the broadcast before. You know, we are right now, we're taught and we're sort of conditioned to think linearly. Think from, you know, January 1st to December 31st, point A to point B. You've heard the saying, point A to point B, right? It's from point A to point B, point A to point B, point A to point B. That's linear. That's a linear type mindset. Okay, that's one point to another, straight line, sort of linear. Like nature and the world around us operates on cycles. Cyclical. The seasons are cyclical, right? I mean, just think of the seasons. That's what this fourth turning is about. Is about, and it uses seasons as an analogy. And we're in winter currently, and winter is not a good place to be. No, you want to be in like the spring when you break free of the tyranny and there's a rebirth, like there is like in, you know, in our regular spring cycles that happen and occur. You know, we're in a cycle right now of, you know, it always happens. People become complacent. They take their eye off of the ball. They put the security of their liberties and their future in the hands of others, and they just let it go and just assume that they're going to do the right thing. They just assume they're going to do what we would do, or what you would do. It's not the way that it really works. You know, it's sadly we're sort of in this paradigm where we judge other people and what they would do or what they wouldn't do based upon what we would do or what we wouldn't do. See, people personalize that. They have a tendency to do that. Well, I would never sell children like that and smuggle children across the border and sell them into prostitution and, you know, worse. I would never do that. I can't believe people do that. I would never do that. Nope, you probably wouldn't. You and 99.99% of the population would probably never do that. Pardon me. But that doesn't mean that there's not that that dark underbelly, that small percentage that comprise the dark underbelly of this country, who would do that with pleasure, who would do it and who make millions and millions of dollars and sometimes billions, depending upon who you're talking about and what level they are and as far as the smuggling, the human smuggling operation is concerned. Smuggling human beings is big business, folks. It's really, really big business. I submit to you that it's bigger than drugs, than the drug trade. The amount of money that's made in human trafficking and smuggling and the prostitution and everything that's associated with it. I mean, some of the horrific lives that these people lead that are caught up in this slavery system, that are abused dozens of times a day, are just molested dozens of times a day, and people pay for this. They pay to do it. And that's sadly, again, it's one of the problems as well. We are our own worst enemy here in this country. We are the number one consumers of this smut. And as long as there's customers out there for it, they're going to continue to keep doing it. As long as there's a customer base, and as long as someone's going to pay, they're going to continue to do it. Oh, please believe me. There's people that will pay. There's people that will pay a lot of money. People will pay a lot of money to see terrible things happen to other people. Again, you're thinking, I would never do anything like that. No, you probably wouldn't. No, because you have a soul. If you have a soul that's not black like coal, you probably would not do that. You probably would not do that, right? But there are people out there that have souls as black as coal. You better believe it. And they would do that, and they do frequently do, and they do it. It's going on today. It's going on today, this very day. And, you know, you've seen how many times you have to see expert after expert, whatever, whoever these experts are. You really don't need to be an expert if you have common sense. They're now saying that these traffickers, these drug cartels, they're in their heyday here. They're in their heyday since Biden took over, and now he has stopped the construction of the wall by the military. I think Trump took some military funds and started doing some wall construction. That's been stopped. And on the one hand, they stop the construction and they take all the military funds away from the wall construction in the morning. And then in the afternoon, they state, we're doing everything we can to stop this influx of refugees and the strain that's putting on the system. We're doing everything we can to help and to stop it. That's the morning press conference. And the afternoon press conference is we're stopping the military spending on the wall. So the basically, essentially, the wall is going to stop. This construction is going to stop. Do you understand, folks, that it's a criminal class. It's an entire criminal class. Okay. That does not want their crimes to be exposed to the general public. So what you see what they're doing is the mask stuff, the vaccine stuff, the distractions, the putting people out of work, closing down businesses, kicking people's door down, all that stuff that you see, everything that they're doing, all of it's designed to keep your attention off them and their crime sprees that they've been on a crime spree for decades against the American citizens of America. For decades, they've been on a crime spree. They can't have the crimes, the voluminous amount of crimes that they've committed exposed. That's why you see all of what they're doing. That's why you see everything's going on here. They're not doing it. Of course, you know this by now, right? I hope you know that they're not doing any of this to protect you, like they state. We need to close down theaters. Everybody needs to mask up, and because we want to protect you. Really? Do you really think that anybody in Washington, D.C. at all wants to protect you or has they're looking out for you? They say they're looking out for the folks. They can't speak unless they're lying. They can't even have a conference, a press conference, unless the lies are all laid out. The biggest liars and the most damaging organization by far to this whole entire nation, hands down, by far, no one's even close, is the press, the quote-unquote mainstream press. No other institution as a whole has done more damage or more has acted more un-American than the mainstream press in this country. It's preposterous. It's treasonous. It's criminal. What else can you say? What else can you say? When they omit, I mean, no one in the press has went after the Hunter Biden laptop thing. There's apparently reports in there that he has sexually victimizing underage girls on the videos and the hard drive. That's not news to anybody. I mean, that's not newsworthy. I guess is what I'm trying to say. Really? We've talked about it before. It's the lies of omission. They're the ones that are most damaging. It's the fact that they don't report on it, right? They provide cover for the crooks. They're the propaganda arm for the criminal class. This is a whole entire criminal class. And just about every single one of these people that you see in D.C. are part of it. Just about every single one. Very few are not. How can you operate in that environment? How can an honest person ever go to Washington, D.C. and do anything? I mean, if you look at a guy like Ron Paul, for example. I mean, they just, I think Ron Paul's an honest guy. I really do. I think that, you know, do I know Ron Paul personally or everything he does in his life? And no, of course not. But generally speaking, what I know of Ron Paul and what he stands for and what his previous voting record indicates is that I believe that Ron Paul was a pretty honest guy. So what'd they do? They just marginalized him. He would come in second in these votes and they wouldn't even include his name. Do you remember this? Does anybody remember this? When they would have these primaries, Ron Paul would come in second behind whoever, I forget at the time, was the leader, whoever was the leading candidate. Ron Paul would come in second, and they wouldn't even list his name on the final results. They would just omit him. He was second most popular vote getter, and I forget what primary it was, but they would just omit his name. That's what they did. That's what they do. Now, has anybody recognized what happened here with, I don't watch Joe Rogan or listen to him, but he's a newsmaker because he's got one of the number one podcasts, I think, in the country. I think he signed a $100 million contract with Spotify. So he comes out here a couple of days ago and tells people that are young people not to get vaccinated. He doesn't see why they have to if they eat healthy and if they exercise. And he said a variety of other things. And he stated that they shouldn't get vaccinated. Well, it only took one day for him to come back out the next day and soften that response and back off on that some. That just goes to show you who runs things. You want to know who runs things? Find out who you're not allowed to criticize. That's it. You find out who you're not allowed to criticize, that's who runs things. You're not allowed to criticize the vaccine. Oh, no. Because you know why? Big Pharma and all the corporations, the mega corporations and the billionaires that surround it, they run things. That's who really runs things. That's who really runs things. Biden doesn't run things. Kamala Harris doesn't run things. Mm-mm. Nope. Billionaire oligarchs. Pretty much. And big tech oligarchs, big tech billionaire oligarchs and others are the ones that really run things. It's not these people that are in Congress that you see that you elect to go there. No. Come on, folks. You got to know this by now, right? You got to know that they're nothing but frauds. This is all just a show. This is all just it's a ruse. It's a trick. It's a con. It's all con. We're living. We're active participants and living in a day-to-day con job that's being perpetrated on all of us. That's not a small con. Mm-mm. It's not some run-of-the-mill con. It's not some back alley con. It's not some three-card Monte con. Uh-uh. Nope. No, this is a big con, the biggest perhaps in the history of the world. It's a con that's being perpetrated on us on a regular basis and has been for a long, long time. There's a lot of participants. But we outnumber them still by tens of thousands to one, pretty much. But they have managed to control the rest of us. Such a small, small group of establishment elite, as they like to think themselves as elite, have been able to have managed to find a way to control all of us, pretty much most of us. And they did it without firing a shot, really. They used propaganda. They used scientific dictatorship. They used trauma-based mind control. Look up MK Ultra. Look up Project Monarch. Look up Lawrence Livermore Laboratories. This is, you know, DARPA. I mean, this is out in the open, folks. It's out in the open. And again, so the whole battle is going on up here, right up here in your mind. The battle's in your mind. That's where it is. And in some aspects, they're winning that battle because you're constantly bombarded. I mean, you can't even do a web search. Forget about doing a web search, except for a handful, which I found out Bing, apparently, believe it or not, gives about the best searches, what I was told. Anyway, Bing, I think Alex Newman told me that when I had him on the show. But trying to get a decent web search out there and try to find any information, forget about it. It's useless, pretty much. First 6, 8, 10 pages are all fake news propaganda. That's why people can't break the conditioning. Anytime they go to do a search, the first page of searches is all mainstream media, mainstream lies and fake news. And they don't ever search any further. Typically, they click on the first 2 or 3 links and they're done, because then they're starting to believe the narrative. That's why people can't break the conditioning. If we could just get rid of the fake news and shut them off for 2 weeks, if we could completely shut off the fake news for 2 weeks, and go to honest news reporting for 2 weeks, all the problems of the world would be solved. Pretty much. There'd be some outliers, sure. You know, there's some people that do have dark hearts that are just, you know, prone to evil. Probably couldn't reach all them. But you shut off the mainstream media for 2 weeks, and you turn around and just start reporting the facts as they are, all this shuts down. All this stops. All this strife and all this criminality and all this division and tension and anger, it all goes away. That's my prediction. Will we ever get to that point? Don't know. Appreciate you looking in here today on the show. We're going to have Teresa Manzella tomorrow. We're going to have Braxton Mitchell on Wednesday, Derek Skies on Thursday, and Lola Sheldon Galloway is scheduled to be here on Friday. And, of course, any other breaking news or anything happens in the meantime, I'll be always at the ready to come back on the show or put an article out on Montana Daily Gazette. If you want to support us, you can go to MontanaGazetteRadio.com, MontanaGazetteRadio.com, or if you want to check out the number one online news source in Montana, by far, MontanaDailyGazette.com, MontanaDailyGazette.com. And if you want to support me here and my broadcasts, so I'm a one-man staff here, so if you want to support the staff, you can go to NorthwestLibertyNews.com. That's NorthwestLibertyNews.com, and click on the Support Independent News button and support us there. Thanks so much for looking in. All these videos will be rebroadcast on Rumble as soon as I have a chance to upgrade and update them, or I should say upload them, and you can listen to the show live on Montana Daily Gazette if you click on the radio button there, which takes you to MontanaGazetteRadio.com. Thanks again for looking in. I'm your host, James White. Appreciate my guest today, Michelle Binkley. Look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Until next time, this is James White for Montana Gazette Radio. Saying bye now.